Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my good colleague of long standing, Thaddeus McCotter, who writes in American Greatness. He's from the great state of Michigan, that he represented during the early times we were together in the beginning of the 21st century. Thaddeus was a chairman in the House Republican Caucus. But the day I'm remembering very acutely, but I need Thaddeus's memory, is the day he stood up in the floor of Congress making remarks about a young woman named Nadia, an Iranian woman who had been murdered by the besieged during a street protest about a stolen election in Tehran. That is not surprising, but at the time what was a spontaneous rising of young people, the color green they associated with freedom. And Nadia was shot down by besieged. There was never any doubt that it was deliberate, murdered, and some days later, Thaddeus stood up and made remarks in Congress following what appeared to be no particular action by the Obama administration and by the president himself, who was asked about these matters in press conferences. Thaddeus, that's the best my memory can come at without checking your remarks. What did you tell the Congress? What did you tell the American people about those events? Good day to you.
Good day, John. It was Nada Sultan as well as Tarani Musavi. They were two martyrs for freedom. What we saw from the Obama administration was to continue to parlay with the butchers who killed the protesters in the streets. We've seen that continue to the present day. The Trump administration obviously has taken a different approach in terms of the regime, but the problems remain the same. It's the regime. When I went to the floor, I bemoaned the fact that we have not had a continuous bipartisan policy towards Iran to help weaken the regime through all means short of military action. That we did little to help prepare the people so that their aspirations could implode this regime, much as we saw the fall of the Soviet Union and the satellite nations of the Warsaw Pact in the early 1990s. So that did not happen. And it was a failure of Republicans and Democratic administrations. The Obama administration decided that they would go for negotiations in many ways, seek a multipolar world with Iran being a critical access in their designs of the Obama administration's vision of what the world should look like. And now, obviously, today, we have a regime that had killed 40,000 of its own citizens earlier this year. The Trump administration claims that they've killed enough of the regime that somehow they've effectuated a de facto regime change. I do not believe that's necessarily the case because the ideology of the regime has not been eradicated. So we are in a situation now where the Trump administration is parlaying with the same butchers of 40,000 of their own citizens. And I hope that the administration, everything that they say, comes true. I hope that everything that they expect from the memorandum of understanding and eventually a finalized deal, which I think should probably be considered and submitted to the Senate as a peace treaty, although I highly doubt that it will be. These are things that we hope as human beings happen, but we should remain very, very charged and very, very wary that this is not a situation where it's just the president trying to get everything he possibly can to declare victory and get out. It's a situation where the Iranian regime is not giving the least amount that they can do to survive and live to fight another day.
I want to recover your experiences from 2009. Though it is 17 years ago, I believe that we will see this repeated pattern of alarm and anxiety and expectation from members of Congress, from members of the United States public, from the professionals who've been watching the story of the suspect nuclear weapons program these many decades. And my memory is that Mr. Obama had an opportunity early in his first term, right then, to respond to Iran with a strong voice and a strong hand saying, this is not acceptable. And that did not happen, but I don't recall why not. I do remember
they were trying to negotiate with the regime to improve the relationship between the United States and the Iranian regime. They believe that it all goes back to Mossadegh and the CIA overthrowing them, and that if we just work with the Iranians, they could become part of a better non-terrorist regime, and that they could actually be a force for regional stability in the Middle East. I think it was clearly misguided. I think the protesters that the regime killed even back then would strongly disagree with that, but that was the Obama administration's position. And that carried through as they went into the negotiations over the Iranian nuclear program. See, one of the things that we don't hear very much about is the fact that this is the number one exporter of terrorism throughout the world. It is. And yet we hear all about the nuclear program, and we are not hearing all that much about the exportation of terrorism, the use of proxies to engage in terrorism throughout the world. And my concern is going to be that you've not eradicated the ideology of this regime. It is a religious-based ideology. And as we discussed at the time, John, the mullahs are not necessarily part of the government, but they run the government, much like the Communist Party operated, where you had the Politburo running things, even though you had a president and the legislature. So when you look at the Iranian regime, they have the concept of FAR. Mullahs will sit in judgment of whether the government has lost its FAR and whether the government needs to be changed or who can seek office that meets their criteria. So unless they are on board with this, having the Speaker of the Iranian Parliament sign something is a subsidiary, secondary individual who can do this, but does not have the plenipotentiary power of the regime's mullahs because they still run the place.
Your experience as a member of Congress making those remarks, was the Republican caucus or the leadership interested in engaging the White House in these matters?
You have to remember, John, at the time you were dealing with Iraq and Afghanistan with the failed reconstructions there. And so there was not a whole lot of bandwidth on a whole lot of members that wanted to go engage with the Iranian situation. They were glad that in many ways, sadly, that it was taken off the front pages and put on the back burner by the administration in their hope to get a better deal. Now, it's easy to pile on the Obama administration, but we do not have to look much further back in the past to see what the first Bush administration did. George Herbert Walker Bush did in the wake of Tiananmen Square massacre by the Chinese communists. So we've seen both parties engage in trying to downplay the slaughtering of individual nations, all citizens.
My memory also is that the JCPOA proceeded out of that lengthy conversation starting in 2009 to 2015, and that was the explanation by the Obama administration what they wanted to achieve. They did not achieve something very different than what we're looking at now. In fact, it is said, because we've not seen the memo of understanding, nor do we understand the events ahead, but it is said repeatedly that the deal that we have right now hopes to match the JCPOA, but falls short of it. And that's especially ironic for political actors, because Mr. Obama negotiated a deal that Mr. Trump spoke against when he was a candidate and withdrew from when he was in his first term. But my memory of the JCPOA is that my certainty is that it was very much contingent on actions of the regime in Tehran. They had to do certain things, comply with certain mandates, such as allow inspectors in. None of that is true. They threw out all the inspectors over the years. They took down the cameras. They broke all the agreements. And at the time that we could have great expectation, oh, yes, we're not going to attack the regime because we want their cooperation. My memory 17 years later is that that was a false hope and would be a false hope again if we build any settlement with Tehran on the expectation that they're going to cooperate with inspectors. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think it's too early to tell because we have to see what this deal, whatever they're going to call it today or tomorrow or in the future, actually brings. So in the final analysis, I think the assessment that you could not negotiate with a regime who has the mullahs believe they have a religious duty to lie to the great Satan, which is the United States, and that they will have to do everything they possibly can to advance their their religious crusade against the United States and Western civilization in general. So the Trump administration still inherits this. Now, the Trump administration will make the argument that they used military force to try to change the regime's mind about engaging in serious negotiations. We've seen some individuals talk about how we have degraded, not eradicated, but degraded the Iranian regime's ability, which the Obama administration never did, to wage certain asymmetrical and other warfare, and that that will weaken the regime in the eyes of the people of the region and around the world. It's caused them enormous amounts of problems, and yet the regime survives. The regime survives. It can still make life miserable in the Straits of Hormuz, should it so choose. And the very fact that it's still there constitutes a problem, because all the weight of the United States did not get rid of it. Now, does that mean that that will increase the stature of the regime in the eyes of many people? Perhaps, perhaps not. Does it mean that the regime will actually engage in serious negotiations about the nuclear program with the United States? Well, we've seen some pundits have talked about how the United States can just leave a carrier group in the area and retaliate at will if the Iranians break the agreement. What would you call that, John? A forever ceasefire truce or something? Yeah. I don't know. But in the final analysis, John, what you're looking at is a whole lot of unknowns and a whole lot of optimistic thinking. And one thing I do want to kind of lay out on the table is we've seen, it's not necessarily tangential to this. We talked about the $300 billion fund that the White House is talking about to try to transactionally and financially bring the Iranians into the international fold of the international community. Now, as we've been told, that's not going to be government money. And yet you also hear that the same administration is echoing Bernie Sanders, but actually going farther by talking about creating a sovereign wealth fund based upon stock ownership within the AI companies. Now, if the United States has a sovereign wealth fund, which would be the most horrible socialistic idea you could possibly think of, would that be one of the funds that would be used to send private money over there to try to buy the Iranians' support? And what about terrorism by this regime? Is this regime also going to renounce not only their nuclear ambitions, but terrorism? You would think that you could probably get both for the amount of time and effort that we put into this.
You're asking the same questions the Wall Street Journal editorial this morning.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What have I done?
So I'll run
down. Who am I?
When we come back, we'll come to 2026, 17 years later, with Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness. I'm John Batchelor.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.